Rule number 11. Speak softly to your neighbor. Mrs. Hunter didn't send me to the principal's office. Probably, if I had been anyone else, she would have. But I had never done anything bad in her classroom before, ever, except chit-chat with Erica. And I don't think she actually heard what I'd said, just the decibels, which means volume, at which I'd said it. Also, not to whom. All she ended up saying, when she realized the person who'd been screaming at the top of her lungs in her classroom was me, was, "Speak softly to your neighbor, please." Then she went to her desk, looking kind of dazed. So did Cheyenne. So did everyone else. I think maybe their ears were all ringing from me using my outside voice, which is really very loud. But just because I didn't get sent to the principal's office didn't mean that I wasn't scared. What was going to happen now that I'd yelled at Cheyenne like that? Was she going to think of some horrible, even worse punishment than calling me Big Baby Finkel? I could tell she was thinking about it. When she'd recovered from her astonishment over how I'd yelled at her, I saw her whispering with Marianne and Dominique and Shamira. Obviously, she was whispering about how she was going to get back at me. A part of me wanted to throw up about that. It's horrible to be hated, even by someone you don't like all that much. But another part of me was more concerned about Mrs. Hunter and what she must think of me. I'd been a joy to have around the classroom before. She'd told my grandma that. But it was pretty apparent she was going to change her mind about that now. I mean, what if she decided I wasn't such a joy to have around after all? I could see that she still seemed confused, looking from me to the rest of the class, trying to figure out what had happened. She seemed to think I'd been yelling at one of the boys. Only, the boys and I were, of course, getting along fine. Joey had taken out all the boxcar children he'd been hiding in his desk, 7 of them, and put them back on the classroom bookshelf, which was good because they were 7 I hadn't read before, and now that I was going to be the class outcast and hated by my teacher, I'd have plenty of time to read. I didn't mind so much about the rest of it, but I just couldn't stand the idea of Mrs. Hunter thinking badly of me. I loved her so much. I didn't want her to think I hadn't spoken softly to my neighbor for no reason. I had a reason, a really good reason. And that reason was Cheyenne O'Malley. And she wasn't talent not talk. She was all talk and almost no talent as far as I could tell. Her shirt had been lying. She'd been wearing a lying shirt. She should go to jail for wearing that shirt. Mrs. Hunter didn't speak to me again the whole day, which I guess wasn't that unusual. I mean, it wasn't like there was any reason to. I never raised my hand or volunteered to help move the chairs during music class, which I'll admit wasn't like me, because I like to be helpful. But Mrs. Hunter must not have noticed my lack of helpfulness, because she didn't say anything about it. Either that, or she just hated me so much now for not speaking softly to my neighbor, she decided never to speak to me again. I was so depressed about this that I didn't even care when, as I was getting my coat to go home, Cheyenne sneered, "Way to overreact, Allie," in her snottiest voice on her way out of the classroom. I had no idea what she was talking about. I guess the whole thing where I told her she wasn't the boss of me. Well, that hadn't been overreacting. That had just been telling the truth. Something Cheyenne wouldn't know anything about. "I don't think you were overreacting," Rosemary assured me as she walked down the stairs with me. Erica was with me too, and so were Caroline and Sophie, who had temporarily put aside their fight to show solidarity with me and against Cheyenne just for the afternoon. "I thought what you said to her was perfect. I would have clapped, but Mrs. Hunter walked in just then." "I know," I said miserably. "Mrs. Hunter, who hates me now."
"Mrs. Hunter could never hate you," Erica cried. "She loves you. She trusts you enough to let you sit in the back with all those bad boys."
"That's true," Rosemary agreed. "That's really a place of honor. Not just anybody can sit back there. I should know."
"She just put me back there because I have brothers like you do, Rosemary," I said, "and I'm not afraid of boys." I didn't mention the part about how I'm afraid of girls. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them. And how I'd started keeping a book of rules, mostly just so I'd know how to get along with girls. I haven't told anybody at this school about my book of rules, though. I'd learned a lesson from my old school about that. So, it's still an honor. Cheer up. See you tomorrow. Rosemary ran off when we got to the bottom of the stairs to go get in line for her bus. Which made her lucky in a way, because our walk home wasn't the most cheerful. Erica tried to keep everyone's spirits up and make us all get along, as usual. But with Caroline and Sophie still not speaking, it wasn't very easy. And I was still too sad to make much of an effort. By the time Caroline and Sophie left us at the stop sign, no one had really said much beyond, "Come on, Allie, it will be all right," and "Cheyenne won't dare say anything to you tomorrow. You showed her." But I knew they were wrong. Cheyenne would have plenty to say to me tomorrow, after she'd spent half the night on the phone with M and D and the rest of her posse. She would have new ammunition, and she'd probably make me so mad all over again, I'd do something else to make Mrs. Hunter shocked at my behavior. Maybe this time, I really would get sent to the principal's office. Maybe I'd even get kicked out of school. It was possible that instead of being a good influence on all those boys I was sitting in the back row with, they were being a bad influence on me. Maybe by the end of this semester, I'd end up in reform school or jail. But when I mentioned this to Erica, she said, "Oh no, Allie, I don't think that's possible. You're good, way better than Cheyenne. Did you see that shirt she was wearing today? It said, 'Naughty but nice.' You're not naughty at all." This didn't make me feel better, though. We all knew Cheyenne's shirts lied. Erica asked me over for an afternoon snack and a game of dollhouse. She even said I could play the girl dollhouse character and make her get kidnapped and then rescue herself if I wanted. But I said I wasn't feeling up to it. I said I just wanted to go home and maybe read some Boxcar Children. So Erica said she understood and to call her if I needed to talk. I hugged her and said I would. I let myself in through the mudroom door and was surprised to see Uncle Jay letting himself out just as I was coming in. He had his coat on and everything, and Uncle Jay didn't have any afternoon classes that day. It was the first time in days I'd seen him up when he didn't have to be. "Where are you going?" I asked him.
"I've decided that if Harmony won't accept me the way I am," Uncle Jay said, "then I'm just going to have to make myself into the kind of man she wants. I'm going to interview for a job."
That's when I noticed he'd shaved off his beard, including his goatee. "Uncle Jay," I cried. I was almost as stunned by the change in Uncle Jay as I'd been by everything that had happened to me that afternoon. His face looked naked. "Are you sure?" Something about the fact that Uncle Jay was willing to go against his principles after all this time and change just because Harmony had asked him to made tears well up in my eyes. I knew our two situations were completely different. He's a grown-up man, and I'm a fourth grader, and Harmony was his girlfriend, and he loved her, whereas Cheyenne's just a girl in my class, and I don't care what she says at all. Well, very much. But still, the fact that, after all this time, Uncle Jay had decided to do what Harmony wanted instead of staying the way he'd always been made me want to cry all of a sudden.
"Hey."
Uncle Jay must have seen the tears in my eyes since he poked me in the shoulder.
"Don't look like that. I'm still the same Jay. Getting a job is a small concession to make if it will make Harmony happy. Besides which, I do need the money. Somebody has to buy turtle food for Wang Ba, and this will hopefully give me some good source material for my writing. Also, by conceding to this one small point of Harmony's, there's a chance she'll take me back. So it's a win-win situation. Any other questions?"
I shook my head. I didn't trust myself to speak because I was afraid I'd start crying.
"Good," Uncle Jay said. "Wish me luck."
I didn't say anything, but I don't think he noticed. I just got out of the way so he could leave. Then I took off my coat and hat, pulled off my snow boots, went into the kitchen for my snack, ate it, went upstairs, picked up Musi, went into my closet, closed the door, sat down, put Musi in my lap, and started to cry. I'd probably cried for about 10 minutes before there was a knock on my closet door, and Kevin's voice went, "Ellie, are you crying in there?" "Go away," I yelled at him. Musi, who was curled up on my lap, purring, stopped purring when I yelled. But as soon as I stopped yelling, he started purring again. Kevin went away. A little while later, there was another knock on my closet door, and I heard Mark's voice go, "Ellie, Kevin says you're in your closet crying. Why are you in your closet crying?" "None of your business," I yelled. "Get out of my room." Mark didn't leave, though. I could hear him breathing through the door. Mark is the loudest breather in our family. Sophie says there's probably something wrong with his adenoids, which is part of your sinuses. "Do you want me to get Dad?" he wanted to know. "Mom's not home yet." "No," I yelled. "Just leave me alone." Of course, Mark didn't do as I asked. He went and got Dad. If you have brothers, you know exactly how big a pain they are and why you can't really tell them anything, because they will do things like this.
"Ellie?"
Dad tapped on the closet door.
"Could you come out of the closet, please?"
I don't know why everyone was bothering me. I was totally snug inside my closet. I had my sleeping bag and all my dirty laundry piled up in there. Yes, it was dark, and yes, I was crying. But I had Musi, who was soft and warm and purring and sopping up my tears with his fur. Why was everyone making it their business what I was doing in there? Was I bothering anyone? No. "I'm not coming out," I said to Dad. "Please just go away." This seemed to surprise Dad. I guess that's because I usually do what he says. You're supposed to do what your parents say. This is a rule. A big rule. Parents are supposed to protect you from getting hurt. This is another rule. And usually, they do this. But parents can't protect you from the Cheyennes of the world because parents have no idea that there are Cheyennes in the world.
"Ellie," Dad said in a different voice, "are you hurt? Is something the matter?"
"No, I'm not hurt," I said. "I just don't feel like coming out of the closet. Why can't I just sit in the closet if I want to? It's my closet." Dad thought about that for a while from outside my closet door. Then he said,
"Well, of course you can sit in your closet if you want to. But you're crying. Your brothers are upset because you don't usually sit in your closet and cry. So they asked me to see if there was something wrong. Would you like to tell me what's wrong?"
"No," I said.
"And you're sure you're not hurt?" he asked again.
"Yes," I said. Dad thought about this for a little while, too. Then he said,
"Well, all right then. If you change your mind and decide you want to talk, I'll be downstairs making dinner."
"Okay," I said. I heard Dad tell Mark and Kevin to leave me alone, that I just needed some time to myself. Then Dad went away, his weight creaking on the stairs as he went down them. After a while, I heard a different kind of creaking on the stairs, and then I heard Uncle Jay's voice outside the closet door.
"Hey, Ellie," Uncle Jay said. "I heard you're in the closet. I'm home from my interview now. Want to come out and talk?"
"No," I said.
"Oh,"
Uncle Jay said. He sounded kind of surprised.
"Well, do you want to talk through the door?"
"No," I said.
"Oh," Uncle Jay said. "Do you not want to talk at all?"
"That's right," I said. "I don't want to talk at all."
"Oh."
I heard some whispering, and then I heard Kevin say, "I told you," and then I heard Mark say, "Shut up." Then Uncle Jay said to me,
"Well, Ellie, if you change your mind, you'll know where to find me. On the couch downstairs. Your dad is making your favorite for dinner, tacos, with no salsa. We know how you hate anything red."
I didn't say anything. Really, what was there to say? Finally, Uncle Jay went away. After what seemed like a million years, I heard the front door open and close, and Mom yell, "I'm home!" Then she said, "Boy, that smells good. I forgot it's taco night." Then there was some talking. Then there was some more creaking on the stairs. And then finally, I heard my bedroom door close, and someone tapped on my closet door. "Allie?" my mom's voice asked softly. For some reason, the sound of my mom's voice made me start crying all over again. I couldn't help it. I was just so sad. Thank goodness I had Musy to hold on to. I'm in here, I called to Mom from the closet, my voice all sobby. It was a good thing Cheyenne wasn't around, because she'd really think I was a big baby if she'd heard me crying like that. The next thing I knew, Mom was opening up the closet door. She didn't even ask if it was okay. Moms are like that. That's pretty much a rule, and you don't even have to write it down to know it's true.
"Oh, Allie," Mom said when she looked down and saw me.
"I'm not coming out," I said, still crying. I was holding on to Musy so tight, his purring was kind of sounding a little choked, like, "Purr, purr, purr."
"That's all right," Mom said, tucking her skirt behind her. "I'll come in with you."
And to my surprise, she did exactly that.